problem.
All right, so if you could tell me about your morning, what you ate for breakfast.
What I ate before breakfast or what I ate for breakfast?
After
my 90-minute workout this morning, I had bagels and yogurt. And a power drink with a lot of protein to build up that muscle mass, which, as you may know, you lose over time as you age. So you have to work on that.
Okay. I think we're good. So I'm going to start out with, I'm going to read you our listener email. So we're trying as much as possible to bring in a lot of listener feedback into our show. We've done it recently, actually, this week with an interview. And so we got this email. Walking through the Minneapolis airport this morning, I noticed advertisements for the Dead Sea Scroll exhibit at the Science Museum. I had just listened to the Speaking of Faith podcast on preserving words and worlds a few days ago. I'm wondering how museum curators of religious artifacts interpret or navigate the distance between very academic topics and the knowledge base of the general public.
Yeah, it's an excellent question, because I like the use of the word navigate in the question, because it truly does describe what it is that we as museum professionals are trying to do here, to take something that is certainly a very scholarly subject and has had a great deal of study worldwide, and yet present it to our public so that it is understandable, digestible, engaging, interesting. And I think in the case of the Dead Sea Scrolls, it was actually very easy, because it's organic. You know, the material is there. It's just a matter of being able to bring it out and display it and select the proper artifacts to really tell the story. But the one thing that's interesting about an exhibition of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and we worked with the Antiquities Authority of Israel, they only work with one museum at a time. So that if you wanted to see this exhibit last year, you had to go to the Royal Ontario Museum in Toronto. And if you want to see it next year, you'll have to go to Rome. And right now, if you want to see it, you have to come to St. Paul, to the Science Museum of Minnesota. But it's not an exhibit that travels. What was in Toronto is not in St. Paul, will not be at the next venue. The Antiquities Authority of Israel, very much to their credit, requires that you start anew with the creation of the exhibit. So you really have to have the capacity to design, develop, prototype, fabricate, display these authentic 2,000-year-old artifacts. And because every museum is doing the exhibit fresh, the knowledge base about the Dead Sea Scrolls, and one of the still unanswered questions, who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls, it is ongoing. The science is ongoing. What we know in terms of our interpretation of the Dead Sea Scrolls changes, so that while these are 2,000-year-old artifacts, the exhibit as presented here is very contemporary in terms of the information base we have about the Dead Sea Scrolls.
And how do you, before coming here, I was speaking to the managing director, who was talking about how great of an impact that the Dead Sea Scrolls has on people's imaginations. And how did you try to capture that when creating your exhibit?
My experience with the Dead Sea Scrolls actually began when I was recruited to the board of the Midwest Museum Association. And this goes back to 2003, and my very first board meeting was in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And they at that time had an exhibit of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And I personally, as one who loves museums and visits all type of museums, was terribly engaged when I went through this exhibition. But at the same time, as a museum professional, I was certainly observing others who were going through the exhibit. And they, too, were extremely engaged. They moved through the exhibition in a silent, a reverent fashion. And so that's what certainly excited me, was this is an exhibit that is so powerful that we have to bring it to the Science Museum of Minnesota. And thus began what was a 7-year period of time to actually then build the relationships that were necessary and bring this exhibit to Minnesota. And one of the keys is relationships. It is because of that first relationship we built with a museum in Grand Rapids and then followed exhibitions of the Dead Sea Scrolls as they were exhibited around the world. Those relationships with other museums were what really, I think, makes this exhibition powerful here, as it will make it powerful in future museums that have this extraordinary opportunity to display these genuine, authentic 2,000-year-old manuscripts.
So in terms of bringing the academic topic to the general public, one of our other producers is very interested. I think he's either has already come or is planning on coming to some of the speakers that come here. How have you been selecting the speakers to bring this academic topic to a general public?
Yeah, certainly in taking on an exhibition of the Dead Sea Scrolls, it's not only that, you know, we are in the privileged position to go to Israel and spend time with their antiquities authority and look through artifacts and select artifacts and look at artifacts that are just coming through their publication stage and conservation stage and negotiate to bring things here that have never been seen before in the world. But in order to ensure that we are properly conveying the science and the history and the culture that goes along with these artifacts, we have to be very careful in terms of who we bring in support of this exhibition in terms of, in our case, science advisors. And so it's one of the challenges and actually one of the exciting parts, because not only are we, again, sort of shopping and trading for specific artifacts to bring out of Israel, but we're meeting the scholars from all over the world who have worked on the Dead Sea Scrolls to determine who is it that we want to be part of this exhibition at the Science Museum of Minnesota. And part of one of the great educational enhancement programs that has been done, which has been a lecture series that's been done. It's just some of the top people in the world who have worked on the Dead Sea Scrolls that we get to bring to Minnesota in association with this exhibit.
And I've now learned, having gone through the exhibit, that it seems like every scholar might have something completely different to say in the lecture series. So how do you manage that?
I think the important thing is, and maybe this is something that we have learned in what's been more than a 100-year history as a science museum, is that, you know, science doesn't have all the answers. It's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing process of discovery. It's an ongoing process of proposing theories and testing those theories and modifying those theories. So to the great questions about the Dead Sea Scrolls, and the biggest one being who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls, we don't know yet the answer to that question, and scholars don't yet all agree on what the answer to that question is, so that we try and present as much in terms of the evidence that we have in hand and the scholarly history as to what the answers to those questions are, so that the visitor who comes to the museum as they go through this exhibit, they are now sort of immersed in that current state of contemporary research and science and discussion and debate over some of these questions that are still to be answered. And hopefully, you know, it stimulates in some people, especially young people, their own desire to go out and make their own scholarly disputes and recognize that there are lots of questions and lots of discovery and lots of investigation still to be done, even around something like the Dead Sea Scrolls.
And do you have any examples of anybody who's come and spoken to you or to the curators of the exhibit of how this has impacted people's faith or people's strength in their faith, or that they've related to the debate that took place 2,000 years ago, they relate to it today?
I think one of the exciting things that I have found by having the Dead Sea Scrolls here is that I have found myself in various forums where someone will socially comment, and a comment I'm hearing a lot is a gentleman will say, "I read that book at my bar mitzvah," and then they will recite it, and how excited they are to realize that, oh my goodness, you know, what I read Now all of a sudden I'm actually seeing the oldest written copy of these words, and here they are in front of me. I love to see people get excited about that. The other thing about this exhibition at the Science Museum of Minnesota is we not only have what we regard as the oldest written copy of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, there's a great juxtaposition in this exhibition because we also have here the newest hand-scribed, illustrated Bible, which comes out of Collegeville, Minnesota, the St. John's Bible. And it's wonderful to see people move from the exhibition of the Dead Sea Scrolls and comment as to what an incredible living manifestation this is. They have not just simply been left with a view of antiquity of 2,000-plus years ago. All of a sudden, they are face-to-face with this incredible, current, contemporary, beautiful illustrated Bible, this manifestation of these ancient manuscripts they just witnessed.
And was there any sensitivity that you had to consider, anything you had to consider with the juxtaposition, putting them together?
Yeah, we are very fortunate in a lot of ways to have this exhibition of the Dead Sea Scrolls. It truly, I think, is a testament to the world-class reputation that we've built here with the Science Museum of Minnesota. And as we were considering this exhibition, the idea of also exhibiting the illustrated Bible, the St. John's Bible, which is still being illustrated. It's not yet complete, though we have multiple pages or portfolios, as they are called, from the St. John's Bible. It was a really easy decision to make. It was a gift handed to us. It was like, oh my goodness, we have finally secured the rights to exhibit the Dead Sea Scrolls, and right here in Minnesota, we have this incredible work that's ongoing. And of course, as we contacted the people at St. John's University, everyone right away to the idea felt that this is absolutely just an ideal situation to have these two sets of documents here at the same time.
So back to the actual exhibit and how you decided to put together this, or how your group did. What are some of the things that you did in this exhibit that didn't happen in the past exhibits, you know, that you feel very proud of, kind of, that this exhibit does?
We are very proud of the current and contemporary nature of the storytelling and the science that we have put into this exhibition, but we're also very proud of its design. As we went out to museums, and we've been following the exhibits like this around the world for 7 years, one of the things people did a lot was they sort of tried to recreate the environment that the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. So, for example, as the story goes, there was the Bedouin shepherd boy who was tending his flock, and one of his sheep ran into a cave, and as he followed to the darkness at the mouth of the cave and threw a stone into that darkness, he heard that stone break a jar, and within that jar, what we call a scroll jar, was the first of the Dead Sea Scrolls discovered. Well, a lot of museums, almost all of them, tried to recreate the cave that you were looking into to see the first scroll jar. And one of the key design operatives we set for ourselves at the start of this exhibition process was we were going to use nothing artificial. We were not going to create an artificial environment to try and make you, the visitor, feel like you were there, you know, on the shore of the Dead Sea. We said, let us make everything about this exhibit, the story that we tell, the way that we tell it, the way we display it, and certainly the artifacts that we put in it, everything will be authentic. So in some museums, you might see a recreation of an artifact, a recreation of coins from the period, that kind of thing. There is absolutely nothing about that in this exhibition, and everything that you see here is genuine. Many artifacts that have never been on display anywhere in the world, and it's all authentic material that dates back to the Second Temple period to more than 2,000 years ago.
Is that one of the things that I had noticed, is that all the placards for the objects that you have, almost all of them explain what the object is and then relate it back to either a passage from the Bible in that period or a specific aspect of culture, but in the way that it helps unravel who wrote it. Is that
Yeah, I think one of the things we've done well here is we've created a marriage in terms of staging this exhibition. And it's a marriage of science that tells us what the scrolls are and help us to answer when they were written and who they might have been written by. It's a marriage of science also with what gives the scrolls their meaning. It's a marriage of science and its culture and its faith. And that is what we have brought together here in this exhibition.
Just a couple of last questions. Is there anything around the science and faith, any of the speakers that come to mind that really talked about that connection?
One of our science advisors on this project is from here in Minnesota, and we have such a strength of community here to bring this exhibition together, like having the St. John's Bible and like having our science advisor from Northwestern College, who's Dr. Michael Wise. And Dr. Wise studied at the Oriental Institute of the University of Chicago with one of the great scrolls gurus worldwide from that institution. And Michael, I think, does a great job, and he's a great representation for what we're trying to do in the exhibit. Michael is someone who can take us from the very scholarly nature and the very faith nature of the Dead Sea Scrolls, but at the same time, Michael is the kind of guy who will say, let's not forget, this is an Indiana Jones kind of story. It's really an interesting story to follow historically.
So you've been working on this for 5 years?
7 years.
7 years. How has this impacted anything in your life, either faith or even your profession or your views on science?
Yes. I'll pause here while I...
Yeah.
You know, the Dead Sea Scrolls, they represent 350 works. Some of the books of the Old Testament are represented in multiple copies in the Dead Sea Scrolls, so that you have more than 900 actual manuscripts. But they were discovered, as you might expect, after 2,000 years of being left in caves. They were in fragments. There's more than 40,000 fragments that make up the Dead Sea Scrolls. And it's been a real work of, you know, detective-like work, putting this jigsaw puzzle together to determine what these scrolls say. But once you have the opportunity to witness them in, of course, their authentic and their original form, it's like no other experience of faith that you've ever had. So the scrolls themselves can only be left on display for a certain period of time under a very low light. And then they have to go back to the archives in Israel. And as we describe it in museum work, they have to rest. They have to be put back into the dark. And so we are, during the course of this exhibition at the Science Museum of Minnesota, we are swapping out scrolls. We are the first museum in the world that has ever been permitted to exhibit three sets of scrolls. And we have already, as we are now in the middle of this exhibition, done one of those swaps. And so for we in this museum, it is quite a privilege to be able to go in anew, as the visitor can do, and encounter a new set of scrolls. And as that has happened, it's a powerful experience. I can't help but call attention to one of the oldest scrolls in existence that we have on display right now at the Science Museum of Minnesota. It's from Psalm 18, and it says, "A psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke unto the Lord the words of this song. In the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." It's an awesome experience to be reading those words in their original text on the Dead Sea Scrolls. And I think for all of us who have some faith, there are words in there that echo from prayers that we have said across our lives. And so There is no way that I can imagine that you can't come to an exhibition of the Dead Sea Scrolls and have it affect your faith. And we have certainly designed the exhibit that way. Again, it is science that gives the scrolls meaning. But it is science that tells us what the scrolls are, but it is faith and culture that give them meaning, and we have tried to set the stage so that every individual visitor can find their own meaning as they come through this exhibit.
Thank you. And do you have anything else that you would like to talk about and that's given you or this exhibit a lot of impact?
No, I think we've covered it all, and good questions and a good listener email to set the stage here. Yeah, good question. Yeah.
All right, thank you. Sorry, could you just state your name and your...
My name is Mike Day, D-A-Y. I am the Senior Vice President of the Science Museum of Minnesota.